I'm sitting in an office that's no bigger than a broom closet, and only two chairs and half of a desk can fit inside. There's a window, so that's nice, but all it shows is the parking lot and the road behind that. There are six trees, and only two of them have leaves on them, and there's a row of six bushes in the space between the lot and the road. The only reason I can tell that it's not one long bush is the six roots that dip down into the soil. It's uniform and, well, cultivated. I remind myself that I'm supposed to be doing something, and I look down to the page on the clipboard in my lap. It's a series of generic questions, like horoscopes, and all of them sort of apply to me, which is rather dumb because they're supposed to distinguish me somehow. I answer them and receive an arbitrary number in return, after the answers are counted and added up in some arbitrary equation at the bottom of the page. My number is 38. Alone, it doesn't mean much. My mother answered the same questions in relation to me and received the number of 27. It still doesn't mean much, really, but Miss Rebecca seems to find some meaning in it. Maybe the meaning comes from the directions at the top of the page, but the sheet has been photocopied and scanned and photocopied again and again until they're nearly illegible. She gives me that overly exaggerated sympathetic look and diagnoses me. I didn't come here for a diagnosis. I came here for help. Generalized anxiety disorder. She begins to explain it to me as though I'm not in AP psychology and didn't receive a perfect score on the disorders test. It's anxiety over everything, over a multitude of triggers, not one specific thing or situation. Anxiety over school, family, friends. I didn't quite think that was right, but really I could have told her that the moment I sat in this broom closet of an office that only fits two chairs and half of a desk inside. I've had three anxiety attacks since March. Not the anxiety attacks you're thinking of, unless you have an anxiety disorder and have experienced them firsthand, but it's the sort of thing that I can't ever avoid or defeat. My anxiety is a constant in my life. To simulate my levels of anxiety, imagine you're 2 minutes away from delivering a decisive public presentation, one that will make or break a teetering grade or heavily impact your future. And now take that anxiety you would feel and double it. That level is just below my baseline, or how I feel on an anxious day. Now, I'm not trying to impress upon you the severity of my anxiety, because I've learned to cope with it. My threshold, let's say, is higher, but my baseline is so high that whenever my anxiety spikes, it cripples me. Honestly, I can't remember how I felt during that first attack. I was so preoccupied with the fear and the anxiety that my mind can't quite recall what happened. I know that these feelings were intense, and I know that they scared me. That fear turned into anxiety, and that anxiety drove me to my knees. Not literally, of course. I was actually on my side, curled up in the kitchen, because I couldn't do anything. I couldn't think beyond the single-minded hope that this would leave me. I was shivering and shaking and incapable of standing because the sheer isolation of the moment was digging beneath my skin and burrowing deep within me to nestle against the knot of anxiety that was curled tight in my gut. The cold tile of my kitchen was kissing the skin of my shoulder, and my hip was pressed good-naturedly against its unforgiving surface. I spent 2.5 hours on the kitchen floor, like that, without moving. I was coiled so tight that my muscles ached the next day. The second anxiety attack spurned me straight into the arms of my mother. She was still up when I fell into her, hours after I had retired to my room, crying and incapable of blubbering my way through an explanation of my feelings. The warmth of her and the smell of her old nightshirt reminded me that I was still loved, that she was still here for me, and that I was so very alone. She was so tired the next day that she couldn't remember the details of our conversation. The third attack was a few days later. I found my mother at the top of the steps, and I curled up into her arms, crying and crying. She asked me if I wanted professional help. I said yes. God, I said yes. And that's why I'm here, sitting in an office no bigger than a broom closet that can only fit two chairs and half of a desk inside. The chairs that huffed out annoyed breaths each time you sat down in them because there was too much air between the cushion and the actual hard seat irritated me beyond comprehension. Miss Rebecca's explaining something to me, but I'm not paying acute attention. Having this diagnosis doesn't make me feel better, and trying to be mindful about my surroundings isn't doing anything for me. I remember, again, that I'm supposed to be following Miss Rebecca's instructions, and I allow her to lead me through guided sensory meditation, or something like that. But I don't understand how imagining myself walking down a hallway with plush carpeting is going to kill the knot in my gut. The knot of anxiety and I go way back. It started to make its home in me when I was a kid and got stung 3 times in the back by wasps, and after I hurt my neighbor by hitting him with a shovel. I was always a frightened kid, incapable of watching even remotely scary things without having nightmares for days afterwards. Sleep was always difficult for me. I feared those nightmares more than I welcomed the comfort of resting. Even though those nightmares came rarely, I could never fall asleep without hours upon hours of anxious tossing and turning. The knot, even then, controlled me. Now, sleep comes a little easier, but it's not the nightmares I fear now. It's the anxiety, the endlessness that keeps me up for hours and makes me emotional and empty. My thoughts race. They run in all sorts of directions, meaningless, but they come back to haunt me, each memory of something awful or embarrassing or wrong that I did or will do or have done, and that knot twists tighter and tighter within me until all I can do is cry and cry into my pillow and grind the put of my palms into my eyes to distract my thoughts, distract it with pain and the cessation of tears on my palms. I struggle at night, when all I hear is the hum of my fan and the stuttering hiccup of my breath. I've told this to Miss Rebecca, and she told me to drink chamomile tea before I go to bed. I hate tea. I tell her so, and she laughs with that overly sympathetic look that sets my teeth on edge and insists that I do something calming before bed. The knot doesn't loosen because I take a bath before I lay down. I'm still alone, and it's still dark, and that's all it cares about. Bathing or reading or drinking sedative tea doesn't change that. It never will. I'll do battle with this for every day for the rest of my life. I will lose often and win rarely, but it is a struggle that I cannot avoid. It has been a part of me for years now. It will continue to until the day I die, or to the day that I lose every one of my memories. Honestly, at this point, I'm not sure which one is more appealing. I thank Miss Rebecca for her time and leave her broom closet that can only fit two chairs and half of a desk inside. I reunite with my mother and she smiles at me. It's not overly sympathetic, and I wonder what I would ever do without her. I smile back at her.